Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the How I Quit Alcohol podcast. For first-time listeners, please be aware that not all of the conversations within this podcast are suitable for children. I'd also like to add a trigger warning that sometimes the conversations can get a little heavy. We may talk about things like sexual abuse, domestic violence, drug use, and alcohol use. And if you feel that that may trigger you, please do not tune in. Also, I'd like to add, if you are a heavy daily drinker, please seek the help of a medical practitioner before quitting alcohol. This podcast comes to you from beautiful Bundjalung country. Please kick back and enjoy, grab yourself your favourite alcohol-free bevy, and if you haven't already, do a gal a favour, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Hi, and welcome back to How I Quit Alcohol. Today, it's just me again doing another little mini solo episode, and today I wanted to talk about loneliness. I had an email from someone asking me to address this on the mini-sode, so that's a good excuse to talk about this. And I've actually just been doing some work with one of my coaching clients recently on dealing with loneliness, so I'll do my best to address it. And obviously this is just my spin on things, and with my own experience of dealing with loneliness, I'll speak to that. But really, yeah, I think early on in my sobriety, I definitely had times where I felt very, very lonely because I wasn't catching up with the people I was usually catching up with, or I wasn't being invited to things that I was usually being invited to, and it felt super uncomfortable. And it also felt a bit, what is this? This is a bit weird, isn't it, to just get into bed and read a book on a Saturday night? And I think early on I was probably seeing that as being boring. It took a while for me to reframe it, to kind of look at it like, wow, this is awesome. I get to get to bed early on a Saturday night and read a book and not wake up feeling like a dickhead the next day. This is actually a really good thing. So I had to really work on reframing that idea around loneliness. Yeah, looking at it through a different lens. But certainly I see it a lot where people do feel, ooh, this feels a bit different and it feels lonely. And what does loneliness look like? And loneliness can be a little fleeting thought. It can be if something just passes, or it can be really debilitating for some people, depending on our level of trauma. So people that have had a lot of childhood trauma can feel lonely as well with a group of people. They can feel lonely in their own family structure. They can feel lonely even amongst their friends. And often that is indicative of maybe perhaps some childhood trauma. People that have had perhaps issues, I guess, relational trauma with their caregivers, if they felt like they couldn't trust their caregivers, if they felt their caregivers weren't emotionally available, or if they felt isolated because of perhaps an addicted parent or violence in the home, something that might have been going on, can then, I guess, have a flow-on effect into our adulthood of issues with trust and issues with vulnerability or issues with being able to connect or have meaningful connections with people. So there's two things here. There's that feeling lonely even when we're around a group of people. And then there's also that feeling lonely when we're just not used to being on our own, or if we aren't being invited out to places, or if our drinking buddies have now disowned us. And it can be really super triggering. There's no doubt about it. And that can cause relapse. And some people just cannot bear to be on their own. And that's usually, if it's just so overwhelming and too hard to be on your own, I would definitely be saying to seek out the help of a therapist, because it's a good sign there's some underlying stuff there. One thing I always think is a really helpful tool is to, as always, get out pen and paper, get out your journal, and just ask some questions around it. What am I making this loneliness mean about myself? What meaning am I assigning this loneliness? So when I say that, I mean, what's the story that you're telling yourself with these big feelings that you're having around feeling lonely? So is it that no one loves me, no one cares about me, I'm worthless, therefore no one wants to hang out with me? So what is the story I'm telling myself about this loneliness, or what am I making it mean about myself? And this is where we can start to kind of really get into some nitty-gritties here. It's not just, okay, yeah, I'm feeling a bit lonely, but actually, what meaning am I assigning this? And if I'm to be completely honest, early on when I felt lonely, I felt like, yes, yeah, because nobody loves me. That's the story that I would say, and they only liked me because I was drinking, or there was conditions around this. But really, it had nothing to do with that. It was more to do with other people and their own drinking, and probably me not drinking was shining a light on them. And it was nothing to do with me not being good enough or lovable enough or likable enough. So yeah, really, it's a really great question to ask yourself, what meaning am I assigning this? I guess then asking the question, how far back does this go? When did I first feel lonely? And here's where we can start to really start to see some old wounds that we might have within us. So I definitely felt lonely as a child, even though I was in a big family. I was the only child of my mum and dad's. My siblings were a lot older, and I always felt like they had each other, but I was on my own and I didn't have another sibling to play with. And I was often on my own. My dad was out working. My mum was often not well. And so I had to entertain myself a lot, and I did feel a bit on the outer. So anytime I could tend to feel on the outer, that can trigger some really old stuff in me, which is, I guess, a big story, but probably where my wounds started. Yeah, it was a bit of a trigger for me initially, and something that I had to work through. And I did learn so much about myself that now, of course, years down the track, I love being on my own. I can't think of anything better. I absolutely love it. You know, before I quit drinking, I couldn't even go for a walk on my own. I would have to ring about 10 people, like ring one person, another person, another person, message, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go for a walk? And I've said this before on the podcast. Now I just almost like, no, if someone wants to join me on my morning walk, I don't mind the odd one if it's a close friend or something. But that's my sacred time. And I it's a big deal for me if someone comes along my walk, because that's my time for myself. And I so appreciate it now. And having a weekend to myself is just absolute bliss, where that terrified me back in the day, back when I was drinking all the time. And even like I said, at the start of my sobriety, it was pretty intense because I had to deal with those underlying feelings. So anytime we feel something big, it's a sign. It's our body's way of saying to us, hey, there's a wound here and you got to work on this. And that's the beautiful thing about taking alcohol out. And when the big stuff starts to surface, nothing to be scared of. It's actually a beautiful gift. And that's the opportunity to work deeper and to start to peel back the layers and start doing some healing. And this is why I always talk about getting a great therapist, because or a really good coach, perhaps a trauma-informed coach, but getting some therapy around these big wounds that are showing up. And that's when we can really start to understand ourselves. And if we can ride through these times of discomfort and learn what we can, what is this teaching me? What is this showing me? It's always another great question when you're journaling. What is this showing me about myself? What's this revealing? Wow. And again, when was the first time I felt this? And then always asking, well, what does this part of me need? Some of you could probably relate to this. There's one part of me that loves being on my own, and there's another part of me that just hates it. So the part of you that hates it, what does that part need? How old is that part? And when I say that, you're probably thinking, what the hell is she talking about? Oftentimes our wounds, they started at a certain point in our life. So often for me, the lonely part of me is about 4 years old. And that part of me that feels triggered when I feel lonely, what does that part of me need? And then what would I have needed back then? Probably would have needed reassurance, told I was loved, might have just needed a hug. And so can I give that to myself now? So asking, what did I need back then? What would I have needed? And even if it's hard to think, well, I don't know what I would have needed because I can't even remember what it really felt like back then. I think, well, what would another 4-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 13-year-old, what would they need if they were feeling lonely? What would I give them? And it's a really beautiful opportunity to start turning that compassion towards yourself and giving yourself what you need. And that's how we start to heal. So it's a really great, great, great opportunity. Also, I would say when we are those people that feel lonely, even in a big group of people, then I would definitely say, is that because maybe there was some childhood trauma there? So childhood trauma can really lead to feelings of loneliness in adulthood because it really affects the way we have meaningful relationships with people. If we were unable to trust people, like I said earlier, if we were unable to express ourselves properly and therefore feel like we could rely on other people or to have our back. So it's really, really worth looking at that as well and working through that with someone. And someone who's got some really good experience in dealing with this stuff. I'm not just talking about some coach that you've seen on Instagram. Definitely do your research and see what training the person's had and if they're able to help you with this sort of stuff. Psychotherapist or psychologist would definitely be able to help you through with that stuff. Because sometimes if we have had a lot of trauma in childhood, it does make it really hard to form attachments with people. And there's that fear of being hurt, again, that fear of not trusting. So again, two very different scenarios here, but worth looking at. So which category do I fall into? Maybe what impact did my childhood have on me and my ability to form meaningful attachments with people is definitely one to look into and perhaps have a talk to someone about. So early on, I would say if you're experiencing alone time and it's not feeling good, sometimes that can just be that, oh, I'm just not used to it because I'm used to being around groups of people who are all drinking and that's what we did. And now I'm not doing that. And that can feel really uncomfortable. So that was my situation. And so again, reframing it to, oh, wow, I get this time to myself and I don't have to be someone that I'm not. And I can just be me and I can get into bed early and I can read a book, have a cup of tea and wake up not feeling like a dickhead the next day because I've made a fool out of myself. And really seeing, again, it's about reframing and seeing the gifts that we're giving ourselves. And I think like early on too, especially if I didn't feel brave enough to go out yet, I would do like an online yoga class on YouTube. They're free. They're everywhere. Or a breathwork course. And it's almost like you've got someone in the room with you because they're talking you through it. And that can feel really nice just to, I guess, take the edge off and do something, move your body, do something that's really good for your body, maybe go take a shower and see how you feel after that. And then beyond that, perhaps once you start to get through that side of things, even braving, then maybe I'll go and do an in-person yoga class. Friday nights, Saturday morning yoga classes are fantastic because they, or Saturday evening yoga classes, because they might have been times when we would be drinking, or the Saturday morning might have been time when you would be hungover usually, or Sunday morning hungover usually. So being able to celebrate yourself by going, well, I don't feel hungover, now I'm going to go to a yoga class. Or Friday night, it's normally a time where I feel stressed and I want to drink. Well, I'm going to go and unwind and de-stress myself by doing yoga or breath work. Or you might do a restorative yoga class. You might do a yin yoga class. So that can be really, really good. Or even joining a social club or something like that. So taking some steps towards creating some social connections that are outside your normal drinking buddies. And that can be a really awesome thing to do. And the more you start going to these classes, if you start becoming a regular, you will start to see other regular faces. And then you might just, you never know, end up going out for a cuppa one morning with one of those people or going for a walk after the yoga class. I guess taking risks is really important. I know that especially if you've been hurt before and you feel a bit sensitive around that, but it's worth taking the risk to even put yourself out there and say, oh, I'd love to go out for a coffee with you one day. Do you want to go have a coffee with me? Oh my God, and that can feel so scary at first, makes your bum go all tight. You don't know what they're going to say. And look, if they say yes, fantastic. If they say no, well, you try again with someone else. Don't take it personally. Again, it's always about what meaning we're assigning to things. Yeah, just taking those small steps socially to get out there and putting yourself out there a bit. And I promise you, your people will come. I remember feeling like, oh God, I've got to feel lonely forever. And I absolutely 100% do not. and working on that relationship with yourself so that you don't feel lonely when you're on your own, because you like yourself enough to hang out with yourself. And that's the kind of end goal too. I think that's such a great goal to work towards. And asking yourself, well, what's my relationship with myself like at the moment? And what's it like for me to just hang out with me? That can be a big one for people, because it's like, what? Hang on, what? I've got to hang out with myself? I don't even like myself. Why would I want to hang out with her? Well, hey, okay, if that's what you're feeling, then some work needs to be done, 100%. And why don't you like yourself? When did that start? Okay, and then just giving yourself some compassion and understanding, and starting to, maybe that looks like, what does that look like to create self-love? Start maybe writing down the things about yourself that are great and why you're a great person to hang out with, and really start working on this stuff. It's such, again, I'll say it again, it's a really great opportunity. When something shows up, it's a great opportunity to start working on this stuff. Or perhaps joining a sober group. That's another great thing to do. Or joining a challenge like mine, or an AA group, or other challenges that are out there and other groups. There's the Cuppa community. That's a great online community of people that organize catch-ups and different things within that community. So there's lots of opportunities as well. Other sober people probably want to make sober connections as well. So getting out there and meeting other like-minded people is such a great thing to do. Going on a retreat. I mean, I try and go on a retreat at least once or twice a year, not one that I'm holding, but just being a participant of. And you always make amazing connections. By the end of that week, it might even start by looking around going, oh, I don't know about her, I don't know about him. And usually by the end of it, you're absolutely in love with that person because you've gone through this amazing journey together. So that's another great way of meeting people, forming really good connections and good bonds with people. So I hope that helps a little bit, but it's, again, going back to that journaling practice is really important. So to reiterate that, when you are feeling lonely or it's bringing up stuff for you, just asking those questions. Okay, what meaning am I assigning this? What am I making this mean about myself? When did I first feel lonely? And take it back. Is this an old childhood wound being triggered? Really important. What emotion am I feeling? So for some people, loneliness might feel like fear. And for other people, loneliness might feel like sadness. For other people, loneliness might feel like anger. If they felt very isolated as a small person, or if they felt unheard, unseen, they might have felt angry. And so just asking yourself, it's different for everyone, but what is this, what emotions is this bringing up for me? And what does that part of me need right now? Rather than distracting it with alcohol or distracting it in some other way, here's an opportunity to do some work on myself, and seeing it as that beautiful gift. And okay, let me dig a bit deeper into this. If you've listened to this and it's made you realize, oh, maybe there's some underlying trauma here I haven't addressed, or maybe there is some bigger stuff to this, then please reach out to a therapist, reach out to a trauma-informed coach. I could work with you with this stuff. If not me, there's other amazing coaches. Emma from Hope Rising Coaching is an absolutely wonderful coach. She's also a psychotherapist. So she is a great resource as well and very compassionate. I'd highly recommend her coaching as well. She's absolutely beautiful. And Isabel Ferguson, she's another one. She's a counselor as well. Beautiful person, beautiful human. So there's lots of options. There's lots of people that I could also direct you to. If you can't get in with me or I'm not your bag, I can certainly direct you towards some people who I could definitely say, hand on heart, yes, these people are brilliant. And yes, you should work with these people. Otherwise, I know other therapists. So yeah, you don't need to go at this alone by any stretch. I think working with someone is a great opportunity to do some healing. So yeah, again, whatever is showing up for you, when you take the alcohol out, when you take out that great distractor of alcohol, we can be left with some pretty big feelings. And that's great, because that's the opportunity to understand yourself a bit more. So I hope that helped. I hoped that gave some insight and maybe even some solutions about if you're feeling lonely, some options that you could do. And feel free to hit me up, your thoughts around this, or perhaps what you might have done if you're lonely. There'll be a social media post go out about this as well. So perhaps people could share their own insights or what they do if they're feeling lonely. But I promise you, you won't always feel lonely, especially if you reach out to a therapist, if it's more trauma related And even if it's not, if it's more to do with just losing your social connections, I promise you will not last forever, particularly if you start being brave enough to make those little steps towards going out and meeting some other people or joining a group or jumping into a retreat or something like that, where you can kind of go, okay, all right, I'm doing this. I'm going to put myself out there a little bit. It's a big, brave step. I don't underestimate it by any stretch at all, how scary it can be. But if you just keep at it and don't personalize, if you do get a bit of rejection, try not to personalize that. That can be really tough. And again, if that's bringing up big feelings for you, then it's another great opportunity to work on it with someone. So I hope that helped. Everything is a great opportunity to start doing the work and learn more. So I love this stuff. I love these conversations. I love working with people on this stuff. So I have a new challenge starting in May. I've always got challenges going. I've always got retreats running. So jump on my website, iquitalcohol.com.au, to see what I've got coming up, or to book in a coaching session. Or if none of that appeals, like I said, hit me up with an email and I can definitely point you in the right direction. Beautiful guys, and well done. I just want to say well done to anyone that's actually out there and they're doing it, or they're just trying it out, or they're just even thinking about it. I think it's this huge, brave thing to do. Don't underestimate what a big thing it is to take out something as pervasive as alcohol. It's a big fucking deal. So if you're doing it, if you're thinking about it, just good on you. If you've tried and you failed, doesn't matter. Get back on the horse. You're awesome for just trying it. And if it hasn't quite worked this time, keep on going. Keep on going. That story I just had on with Fenella last week, it was such a powerful story about just keep on trying. Keep on trying. It might not work the first time, but keep on going. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.